Good luck, everybody.
Going
we were holding in the middle of a parsha here with Shaul HaMelech and the 600 soldiers that were facing thousands and thousands of Plishtim, hundreds and thousands of Plishtim. We're holding in Kapitel Yudalad Pasuk Tezayim. And Yonason and his assistant were in a different place and they were facing these thousands of Plishtim on their own. And Yonason very courageously and having HaKadosh Baruch Hu with him and tremendous Amun and B'tochen and Hashem, he says, let's go and fight the Plishtim on our own. So we're holding now Kapitel Yudal is Pasuk Tezayin. And we also said he went over to them and they started killing each other out on their own. Yonason didn't have to do a thing. Vayiru HaTzayfim. Tzayfim are sentries, people that were looking, Shaul, he had people on high places looking out to see what was going on by the Plishtim. Vayiru HaTzayfim, and the sentries they saw, HaTzayfim L'Shaul B'Givas Binyamin, V'hinei HaHamayin HaMayig, and they see the multitude of Plishtim is melting, they're scattering, they're moving around. Vayelech B'Haloim, and they were going and they were approaching. The word Namayig, like Namaygu Koyeshve Kanan that you have in Oz Yashir, it looked like they were melting. I mean, imagine like you have a big pile of snow, all of a sudden it's melting in the sun. So it looked like the Hamayin that was originally together, they were melting. And Rabbeinu Yeshaya says they were going onwards, backwards, killing each other out, not even realizing what they were doing. The Malbim explains the word Hamayin. Whenever you have a crowd, there could be different words that are used to describe a crowd. It could either be a machana, or it could be an or a tzava. That's referring to a crowd that's organized and it's b'menucha. But when you have a crowd that's in turmoil, that's called a hamayin. It's from the same shayrish as muhuma, from tumul. So v'hinei ha-hamayin na-mayin, the tumult to crowd, they were melting. V'yomer Shaul wa'am asher itay. And Shaul said to the people that were with him, pikduna, check now, Uru'u miholoch me'imanu, and see who went from us, who left our camp. He saw them out and says he wanted to know what's going on here with the Plishtim. All of a sudden, they're in such turmoil. They seem so organized and so courageous and bold, ready to attack. And all of a sudden, they're in a turmoil. So pikduna, uru'u, check and see miholoch me'imanu, who left our camp. Vayifkidu, and they check. V'hinei en Yonason v'noisei Kela. Behold, Yonason and his assistant are missing. V'yomer Shaul l'Achia. Shaul said to Achia the Kohen Gadol, Hagisha Aron ha'Elokim, bring forth the Aron, ki hoya Aron ha'Elokim b'yomahu u'v'nei Yisrael. Because the Aron of Hashem, the Aron that was usually in the Mishkan, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was there that day, together with the B'nai Yisrael. So Shaul said to Achia, bring forth the Aron, because the Aron was there on that day together with the B'nai Yisrael. So a few questions have to be asked over here. First of all, what was the Aron doing together with B'nai Yisrael at war? If you'll remember, in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, we learned that the Yidden made a terrible mistake in bringing out the Aron together with them to Melchama. They thought that that was going to be their Yeshua. They have the Koyach of the Aron with the Luchas with them. And what happened? It backfired on them. The Plishtim took away the Aron with the Luchas in it. And it took a tremendous act of courage and Mesiris Nefesh on the part of Shaul to grab the Luchas away from Goliath that was holding the Aron. So one would think that they learned their lesson already from them. And it was a whole process until finally the Aron was sent back to the Yidden. It was a major thing. So didn't the Yidden learn from previous mistakes not to bring the Aron out to Melchama? So there are two pshatim over here. First of all, the Medrash tells us, it's a brayse in Meleches HaMishkan, that this was not the regular Aron. In other words, regularly, there were two Aronis in the Beis HaMikdash. There was the Aron that had the regular Luchas in them, and even though Chazal says, Shivrei Luchas v'Luchas munachin ba'Aron, when they brought, then they had a second Aron, which they brought out to Melchama, that was the Aron with Shivrei Luchas. But this over here was not referring to the regular Aron with the regular Luchos in them. That's the way the Brice of the Melechus HaMishkan says. This was the second thing which usually used to go out to war with them. And early in Shmuel, the Taka made a mistake and they brought out the regular Aron with the Kruvim. They thought that the Shinah rests on it, it's going to help them. But they were B'nai Aveira, they weren't on the proper Madrega, it didn't help them. But over here, Taka, according to the Brice of the Melechus HaMishkan, this was not the regular Aron. It was the Aron in which they kept the Shirei Luchos and they brought that out together with them. The Ralbag and the Malbim say, however, that it was the regular Aron. But they didn't bring it out to war. The regular Aron was supposed to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But at this time, there was no Mishkan, because the Plishtim had ruined the Mishkan. The Aron used to go wherever, they used to have a camp of Yidden, wherever the main community of Yidden was, that's where they used to bring the Aron. They were now in Gilgal. Gilgal is where Shaul, where he tried to be Mechazik the Melucha, and he tried to gather the Yidden together. It was a place of gathering for Tefillah. So the Aron was here not because they brought it out to war. The Aron was here because this happened to be the organized place where the Melech was. So in the middle, the Aron was here, but it wasn't here B'Teirah's war. It wasn't the same mistake that they made originally in the very beginning in the times of Eli HaKayin. Okay, so now that we know what the Aron was doing here, so why all of a sudden did Shaul want the Aron? The lesson that he said to Achia, Vayomer Shaul l'Achia, Hagisha Aron Elokim, bring it forth. What was the purpose of bringing forth the Aron? So the Radak learns Parshat. He didn't want the Aron itself, but the Aron was also where they kept the Ephod with the Urim V'Tumim. And he wanted to ask the Urim V'Tumim a Shaila of what to do, how to proceed. So he said, bring forth the Aron that has in it the Urim V'Tumim, and the Menela will know exactly how to proceed. But others learn that there was two purposes over here. Number one, he saw that the Plishtim were tumbling and they're coming forth, so he was scared for the Aron. So he said, bring forth the Aron and let's guard it especially that the Plishtim shouldn't come forth. A second reason he needed it was because he had the Urim V'Tumim there and he wanted to know what's going on with Yonason. You know, where is he and should we go on? Should we go and try and rescue him? So number one, he wanted to secure the Aron and make sure that it was guarded properly. Number two, he wanted the Urim V'Tumim, and the Mele, that's why he asked for it. Vayihi, ad diber Shaul el HaKohen. While Shaul was talking to the Kohen and telling him and instructing him to bring forth the Aron, v'hehomayin asher b'machnei Plishtim, and the tumult in the crowd of the camp of the Plishtim, vayelech cholech v'roiv, it was coming forth even more and more, vayomer Shaul el HaKohen asof yodecha. Hold back your hands from the Aron. We can't do it right now. We can't ask any shaylas now with Urim V'Tumim. Why? Why Shaul tell Achia to hold back? So there's various reasons given in the Mefarshim over here. The Ma'ari Kara says he became so tumult himself. He sees that the Plishtim are coming forth. He had no idea that they were killing each other out and that they were in turmoil because of the tragedy that was befalling them. He thought they were coming closer from Lachama. So there's no time he became so tumult. The Rabban also says, Azamin Zach, there was no chance, we have no chance to talk now. We have to go straight to war. But the Me'amloyeis brings down a third shot. He says, it could be that there's an Isser in talking to the Urim V'Tumim if there's no need for it. And he sensed already that there was killing out going on amongst the Plishtim and they were falling. Me'amloyeis, there is no need to ask the Urim V'Tumim. He didn't want to be over on an Isser. Yet there is a fourth shot over here that the... What? You're not supposed to use the Urim V'Tumim stand for no tachlis at all. The Urim V'Tumim is meant if you have a special shaila. But if he sees over here that they're killing each other out, then there is no need to ask the Urim V'Tumim anything. It's not. It's using a davar shebekdushas the helix the zach to summon Hakadosh Baruch Hu. If there is no need for it, then there is no purpose in it whatsoever. But then he says a fourth shot. He saw the Plishtim coming close. He didn't want to use the Urim V'Tumim within the vicinity of the Plishtim. In other words, hey, they were coming closer. So he says, this is not a place to use the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim is a davar shebekdusha. You're communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be in the vicinity of these Tmeim, then he didn't want to use the Urim V'Tumim. We mentioned a few weeks ago that the Chofetz Chaim said that the Koyach of the Plishtim, their Iker Nekuda was Litzanis. And where there is Litzanis, there is no Hashroas Hashchina. So it could be that that Gufu was Nichlul in this Pshat. Hayyasi knew that the Pelishtim represented lightheadedness and frivolity, and that's in Stira to Hashroas Hashchina. Memele, he did not want to use Durim Tumim. Maybe he felt even it wasn't going to work. Now, it's brought down in the Medrash, in numerous Midrashim, we find that there was a Taina on Shaul over here for starting to ask the Urim V'tumim and then holding back. This was one of the numerous reasons that were a cause of Shaul losing his Malchus. Matter of fact, the Medrash says, Aichra Midrashim brings down, Omru Malachi Hashores, the Malachi Hashores said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mivnei Manu Talta HaMalchus Mishaul V'nasachu L'David. Why did you take the Malchus away from Shaul and you gave it to David? Ma ben Shaul to David. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what the difference is between Shaul and David. Shaul, when he saw a little bit of a tumult with the Philistim, he said, Esayka Decha, hold back. And David Lehepach, at the time that he saw the Philistim were coming to him, he said, go ask the Urim V'tumim. In other words, Shaul became to tumult, and that's something that a king cannot have. A king has to be in total possession of his faculties at all times, no matter how tense the Indian is. And in such a matter, it's sort of like he said, okay, I can't talk to Hashem. And David HaMelech, under the greatest of pressure, he says, no, let's ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have nothing to worry about. So this, the Medrash says, was one of the reasons that Shaul lost his Malchus. There's an interesting diuk in the Pasuk over here. In the Pasuk before, it says, Vayomer Shaul el Achia. Shaul says to Achia, it calls the Kohen Gadol by his name. In this Pasuk it says, Vayhi Adiber Shaul el HaKohen. It doesn't call Achia by his name. It says, Vayhi Adiber Shaul el HaKohen. Why the switch? The answer is that the Urim V'tumim, using the Urim V'tumim, is a chelik of the Avodah of the Kohen. So once he already started with the process of asking the Shechina, he was holding in the middle of the Avodah of Kohuna, and Shaul stopped that in the middle, so there was a taina on him. That's why before he said to Achia. But over here he was already in the act of doing a Maisa of Kohuna, which is asking the Urim V'tumim, Vayhi Adibur Shaul El HaKoyen, and he was already Isaac in the Malacha, and he says, hold back. It's sort of like he stopped him in the middle of an Avodah that the Kohen is supposed to do, and this was a taina on him. Vayizoyek Shaul V'cholo'am Asher Itay, and Shaul and all the people that were with him, they all gathered together. Vayavoyu Ad HaMilchama, and they came until the war. V'inei and behold, Hoysochorev Ish B'reyehu. There was swords, men on each other. Muhuma G'dayla M'yoyi, tremendous panic. They were killing each other out. The Me'amaloyah says that the purpose of this passage is to tell us that Shaul and all the people were gathering to wage a war. They were all hepped up to wage a war. And they come and they see that most of the work was already done. There's people lying there, corpses lying there. They had killed each other out. The biography on Rav Chaim Volozhiner brought down a very interesting thing. Chaim Volozhiner started a yeshiva in Volozhin. It's interesting that Hashgacha had it that just at the time that he wanted to start his yeshiva, there was a new Goyish baron, a Goyish graf, that bought out all the land of Volozhin and land surrounding it. This baron's name was Yosef Tishkevitz. And it was no coincidence. It was no coincidence because he ended up being a tremendous help to the Volozhiner yeshiva. He helped out with the binyan of the yeshiva. He built Rav Chaim Volozhiner's house, and he was tremendously mechabed Rav Chaim. He was a frumer guy, and apparently he was interested in finding out, you know, what the Hashkafas HaTorah was in different dinyanim. And every week, he used to come once a week, and he used to hold discussions with Rav Chaim. He used to tell Rav Chaim Volozhiner the weekly news. And Rav Chaim used to tell him what Das Torah is and what the proper Hanhagi is. And there's numerous things that they used to have in their discussions between them. One time, it's brought down, he told Rav Chaim that the Tsar at the time, his name was Favel. The Tsar at the time had a baby boy. So Rav Chaim asked him, what's the baby boy's name? So he said, Nikolai. So Rav Chaim started crying. He said, what are you crying about? He says, Kabbalah b'yodeinu, that kings that are born with the letter, that their names start with the letter Nun, they give terrible tzaras to Klal Yisrael. Nebuchadnezzar, Nimrod, Nebuzradon, Niran. This Nikolai was Yodua for his tremendous riches to Klal Yisrael. And he was afraid that he was going to be like them. And sure enough, his fears were takia, they came true. So one time, this baron was talking to Rav Chaim. And he told him, I can be mekabel everything from you. But one thing I can't be mekabel, it's impossible to believe. How in the world do you expect me to believe that the tiny nation, this weak nation of Israel, that doesn't have an army, even if it would have an army, it's tiny, it's minuscule, it's going to be able to conquer over all the big armies, it's going to conquer over Russia, it's going to conquer over France, over Germany, over England. How in the world do you think it's going to conquer over all of these armies? So Rav Chaim said, Moshel Amaz Avidayma. He said, you have a farmer that wants to breed its, it has roosters in, it wants to breed the roosters together with the chicken. It wants to produce eggs. So it takes the female, and it brings it into a pen full of roosters. And the chicken probably, the female's probably very scared, b'shas mice, when it's brought in. And all of a sudden, the roosters, they start killing each other for the rights to be the husband of this chicken. And they're pecking at each other, and they're butting each other, and they're fighting back and forth. And by the end, they're all lying there, bleeding, eiskemuchit, eiskematet. And there's only one of them that's standing upright, and that's the female, that's the chicken that wasn't involved in the fight. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nebu and Yeshaya, v'sichsachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim. I am going to arouse Mitzrayim against Mitzrayim. That's referring to all the Goyim. I'm going to arouse them that they're going to kill each other out. They're going to fight against each other. And all of them will be terribly, terribly hurt and beaten. And who's going to be the end one that's remaining amongst all of them? That's going to be Klal Yisrael. We're not even going to have to fight in the war. And that's something that you see over here that took part over here. They killed each other out. Here you have Yohannes and his assistant facing hundreds and thousands of Pelishtim, and they've been named Muhuma, all of a sudden the tumult, and they kill each other out. The emphasis, if you look at the world situation today, you see what's going on in the Middle East, it's a scary situation because the little Eretz Yisrael's mom is stuck in between, But Lamaisa, you see how the guy were killing each other out, and we don't understand what's going on, but at least a little bit you see of that which Rav Chaim was talking about, the v'sichsachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim, and that's exactly what happened over here. And that's something that has to give us chizuk, b'zman hazeh. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. V'ho'ivrim hoyu la'plishtim ke'esmoil shilshayim. And the Yidden were with the plishtim like yesterday and before. Asher olu imam b'machane soviv. And they came with them in the surrounding camp. V'gan hema liyoysim Yisrael asherim shol v'yoynesim. And they also were with Yisrael that were together with shol and yoynesim. There's a big shaila how to learn pshat over here in the psukim. What does it mean? V'ho ivrim hoyu la'plishtim ke'esmoil shilshayim. What does that mean? So the Radak says there were Yidden that unfortunately lived in the Pelishti lands. First of all, Pelishtim lived in Eretz Yisrael. And Pelishtim, they moved forth and they overtook some Jewish communities and they were over the Yidden. And because of that, the Yidden that lived together with the Pelishtim, they were forced to go out to war and fight against their fellow brothers. The Ivrim Hayu LaPelishtim Ke'esmael Shilshayim. In the past, they were together with the Pelishtim. Asher Olimam B'machne Sovit, Taish the Radak, that they were in the surrounding area. They didn't want to get involved in the Etzem Melchama. They tried to work their way out of it, not to be in the Etzem Machina. That's why they were B'machna Sovib. They tried to dray out of it so that they shouldn't have to kill their Egan and brother, their own brothers. So they were B'machna Sovib. So the Pasuk tells us, so V'gam Hema, now that they saw the turmoil, that the Pelishtim were killing each other out, so they also now came back together with Israel, and they helped kill out the Pelishtim. They helped the Pelishtim do their own work of killing each other out. And the Radak asks the question, how is it that the Yidden weren't afraid? If they lived amongst Pelishtim, weren't they afraid of the consequences? That when they come back, eventually, the Pelishtim are going to take the Kama? Terence says, no, because if they were killing each other out, obviously they didn't have their senses. They had no idea what was going on. So in Mimeila, they wouldn't hold it against the Yidden. But the Ralbag learns a little bit of a different pshat in the Pasuk, He says the following. The Yidden were downtrodden. The Yidden had no ammunition. The Yidden had nothing. And they were forced to hide in holes. They mamish were defenseless. But now that they saw what was happening, they went back to war like in the previous years that they were able to fight when they did have ammunition. Now they gained the courage and they went back to fight against the Plishtim. That's the way the Ralbach teaches it. The Choyl is Posik Chavdeis. The Choyl is Yisrael. And every Yid, Hamischavim Bahar Ephraim, that was hiding in Har Ephraim, Shomu Kinoshu Plishtim. They heard that the Plishtim, that they ran away, and they also gave chase against the Plishtim in the war. And Hashem helped on that day Klal Yisrael. The war, the Plishtim, the remaining Plishtim were running away, and they passed the city of Beis Oven, and the Yidden chasing them after all the way to Beis Oven and further. Now this lashon. Vayosha Hashem Bayoim Hahu. We find the same lashon in Sefer Shemesh right by Kriyas Yamsuf. Vayosha Hashem Bayoim Hahu. And we also find the lashon Bayoim Hahu, La'asid Lavoi, Bayoim Hahu Yihyeh, Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. So basically, this word Bayoim Hahu is referring to something special. And that is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know that the name Yudke Vovke is the full name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem Havaya, when you're able to see the Hashgach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly. Nowadays, the Shem Yudke Vovke, we don't pronounce it Yudke Vovke, we pronounce it with the Shem of Atlas. As Chazal say, Loi Kishem Shani, Nichtov Ani Nikra. I'm not called the way I am written. I am written Yudke Vovke, but I'm pronounced with the Shem Atlas. And the reason for that is because Bizman Azdeh, we're not able to see the Klar Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch. Nowadays we live in Choshech, we live in a Hesterponim, we're not able to see clearly the Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch. So to us, Bizman Azdeh, he's Bivchinus Adon. He's a master, we're Mechuyim to listen to his word, but we're not able to see the Hashgacha clearly. There are some times though, that HaKadosh Baruch shows us clearly via Hashem, how he is shoylit over the teva, and he's able to make the impossible possible. It was like that by Kriyas Yamsu. By Kriyas Yamsu, there was a klora, his galus hashchina, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu took teva, and he played with it like a little game. Kriyas Yamsu, it was mamish, he played with it, he toyed with it, you were able to see clearly the Yad Hashem. It was Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. And that's why by Yosha Hashem, by Yoyim Ahu, on that special day, you were able to see clearly the Yad Hashem. La'asid Lavi is going to be like that again. The same way he's written, that's the same way we're going to read it, because we're going to be able to see clearly the Yad Hashem. This was one of those days. If you're able to see that such a minuscule amount of people is able to conquer over many, many thousands against tremendous, tremendous odds, you were able to see clearly the Yad Hashem. And that Zman was a Bayoim Ahu, that special day, you're able to see the Hashgachas HaBayre. We're approaching a day of Chanukah. Chanukah was one of those days, one of those kufas, that you were clearly able to see the Yad Hashem. And it's kedai to say over a pshat, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis says, my Chanukah. What is Chanukah? The Tana Rabbanan, there was a Braisa learned, that's a Braisa in Megillas Tainus. B'chofei b'kislev, yumi l'chanukah inun, tamne inun. The days of Chanukah, they are eight. And the Braisa goes on to describe what happened, because when you have the Netzachim of the Mice of Chanukah against the Yevonim, the Yidden went into the Beis HaMikdash, and they were only able to find the Pach Shemen that was only able to light for one day. They lit it, and the Seif Dover was, instead of lighting for one day, it lit for 8 days. And the Mela, that's why they were kaver the Nes of Chanukah. Now, one word is mentioned about the Netzach. One word. I mean, the Mice of Chanukah, the Nes of Chanukah is a beautiful thing. It's Givaldi. But was that the thing that was necessary in guaranteeing, you know, the constant, perpetual keeping of the Torah for generations? Rabban says that the Ikar Avoid of the Chashmenoim was that they guaranteed that we'll be able to continue keeping the Torah for Dar Dairis. If not for the Chashmenoim, Chas V'Shalom, who knows, Torah could have become bottle. So the Gemara makes not one mention of the Nitzach. Not one mention. The Pachshem and it does this. What's the Pshat? Why does it totally ignore the Nitzach? Furthermore, in davening by Alan Yisrael, when we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we thank him. You know, that because of the Nitzachim. Gibarim b'yad chaloshim, Rabim b'yad ma'atim, Tnayim b'yad tahirim, Rishon b'yad tzadikim, and so on. And Agav, at the end it says, v'achachach bo v'necha l'zvir v'esecha, v'tifinu v'seichalecha, v'tiru v'smetashecha, v'idliku neiris v'chashus kachecha, does not say a word about the Neis Pach Shemen. They lit them in Iron and finished. What is the pshat? Why do Chazal say one thing and Alan Isim, we say something else? So the Sefer Galia Masechta, Rav David Levardeke, he explains first of all the Gemara. The emphasis is, what we say in Alan Isim is really the right thing, because we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing us the Netzachim, and that allowed the Torah, Kiyam HaTorah, and Mitzvahs to continue. That is really the way it should be. You have to understand what's shot in the Gemara in Shabbos. Zot to say for Galia Masechta. The Gemara is asking, my Chanukah, and Rashi says, Al Eze Neis Kavuha. Which one of the Nisim was the cause of Chazal establishing the Yomtiv? Was it the Nitzachin, or was it the Ner Chanukah? So now they say it had to have been the Ner Chanukah. Why? Because if it would have been the Nitzachin, you always have these naysayers that say, what? That wasn't a miracle. You had a Judah Maccabee. And, you know, the people that were around them, they were bold, they were courageous, they were muscular, they had tremendous battle tactics, and they caught the Greeks by surprise. No, there's no proof over there of any higher source. No, you know, that can't be. So Chazal wanted to be kaveyed on a nace which showed clearly. There's no other way of touching it up except for it being the Yad Hashem. It would have been the Muhammad, there's always the Kaikibi Aitim Yadi, there's people that could be, you know, that could doubt the fact that it came in Hashemayim. They say over that during the Six-Day War, the lightning victory of the Six-Day War, so Ben Gurion, when he saw right in the beginning, he saw the tremendous victory of the Air Force. He said, like, he himself mentioned the word of Hashem, Zem in Hashemayim. And then a few days later, he calmed down a little bit. He said, ah, tzahal, tzahal. You know, the army was mayudik with tremendous tactics. And that's the way it was shaykh in those days as well. So out in the tzachin alone, they would not have been kaveya a yantiv because, you know, there's always those people. And there was many misyavnim, there were many naysayers, Jewish Hellenists, that could always doubt. No, it came because of the tremendous courage and because of their tremendous physical strength and military know-how. That's why Chazal say over there, my Chanukah, and Rashi says, Al Eze Neis Kavua, what was the Geirim? To be Kaveid as a Yontif? The Geirim was this Neis. It's impossible to touch up any other way. There's no way you can touch it up any other way. Where you see clearly the Yad Hashem. Chanukah is one of those days, one of those Bayayim Ahus, where you're clearly able to see the Yad Hashem. And Agav, it's a time which is Mesugal Taka for us. Yes, you see clearly the Yad Hashem, you know, Rav Dessler, the famous Yisayid of Rav Dessler, I think we've mentioned this a couple of times already. Rav Dessler says, Yisayid in Yiddish Yomim Tavim. Bayomim Hohem Bazman Hazel. What does that mean? How do you look at time? People look at time as like it's a straight line, and it goes on forever. Like, let's say, Chofei Kislev. Comes out once a year. So the next year when you come to Chafei Kislev, it's another Chafei Kislev down the line. And the next year it's another Chafei Kislev down the line. He says, that's not true. Time works like a circle. And we go through that tunnel of time. And every year when it comes to Chafei Kislev, we go through that very same Chafei Kislev that the Chashmenoim went through thousands of years ago. And that very same Chofei Kislev has the same Kiddusha, with the same Hizgalos Hashchina, with the same Zgulas that Chofei Kislev had way back when, it comes back again right now. And it's a tremendous Zgula for Yeshuas, all of the different needs that Yechidim have, the different needs that Klal Yisrael or the Tzibur has, those needs could be answered if we're on the proper Madrega, and if we connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where there is that Hizgalos Hashchina, So we're able to mamish be poil Yeshuas during that time, whether it's parnosa, whether it's for help, no matter what it is. These days are mesugal because there's a hisgalos hashchina, there's a bayoyma hu yiyah Hashem echad ishmai echad. It says in Alanisa, ulcho osisa shem godol v'kadosh ba'olam echa. What's Hashem godol v'kadosh ba'olam echa? That's what we're talking about over here. The name of Hashem, the name of Hashem is not pronounced because we don't see it clearly. We don't pronounce it on Hanukkah either. Over at least we're able to feel that Shem Godel V'Kadosh. We're able to see that name expanding with the clear Yad Hashem. That's a time which is Mesugah. That's something that we have to be aware of. Pasuk Chav Dalet. The Ish Yisrael Nigas Bayoyim Ahu. And the Yidden of Yisrael were hard pressed on that day. They were hard pressed because they were in the middle of being Isaac with a war. And they wanted to chase after the Pelishtim. Vayoyel Shaul as Ha'am Lamor, and Shaul made a Shvuah. He was Mashbiah Klal Yisrael, saying, Orur Ha'ish Asher Yoichel Lechem Ad Ha'erev. Cursed is the person that will eat bread before the evening. V'nikanti me'oivai. I want to take Nekama from my enemies. V'loitam Kol Ha'am Lechem. And the entire nation did not taste any bread that entire day. Rashi says, what does it mean, Nigas Bayoyim Ahu? They were hard-pressed. They were hard-pressed to fight against the Philistine. And therefore, Shaul told them, no one is to eat on that day. He was afraid that people would sit down to make their barbecues or to prepare food. They would get preoccupied with that. And Memele, they're not going to focus on fighting the Melchama against the Philistine. Memele, he made this shvuah. Others types, the Radak types, they were hard-pressed because Shaul had already made the shvuah beforehand, and they were hard-pressed because they were starving. Here they're waiting to fight a war, and they're not able to eat anything. So that gufa was the reason why they were hard-pressed. Pasuk Chav Hei, V'chol ha'oretz bo b'yar, and all of the people of the land came to the forest. V'yihi dvash al pnei hasadeh, and there was honey, a honey nectar on the face of the entire field. There's a machlokes over here exactly what kind of honey this is. Rashi says a very interesting thing, that this was sugar cane. There was sugar cane growing in Eretz Yisrael, and it was oozing out a certain nectar of sugar that was coming out of the sugar cane plant. And the Radak says, no, it was regular honey that was coming out of beehives that were in the forest. And the people came into the forest. There was a flow of oozing nectar of honey. The ein masig yodei al piv, and nobody put his hand into his mouth with honey. Ki yorei ha'ames ha'shvuah, because the people were afraid of the shvuah. Now the Malbim says over here that there's a moyudik echidush here, and that is as follows: when Shaul made a gzeira, he made a shvuah that no one is allowed to eat any bread. So you could have touched it to mean, okay, you're not allowed to sit down and have a suda of bread, but maybe just to taste something. I mean, that's not being preoccupied with preparing a meal. So maybe to taste bread a little bit, maybe that's not included in the yisr. And certainly, just honey, which has no shaykhus to a suda, honey is just a flavored thing. So there's nothing wrong with that. Afal pikein, the nation, they were so afraid of the shvuah. Not only didn't they sit down for a suda of bread, they didn't taste bread, and not only didn't they taste bread, but they also did not taste b'chlal anything that had any shemetz of anything to do with food. Now the Yalkut Man lawyer says that this would be a little bit of a taina against Shaul later on, because in the next kapitel in Shmuel, the famous story of when Shaul did not fulfill the words of the Navi to conquer over Amalek and to kill them out and to destroy everything that belonged to them. And one of the things that Shaul said was, I was afraid that the people wouldn't listen to me. So one of the times against Shaul would be, here you made a shvuah, and you told them they're not allowed to eat bread. And take a look how vite they listened to you. Not only didn't they sit with a suda not to eat a suda of bread, they didn't even taste bread. And not only didn't they taste bread, but they didn't even taste anything that had shaykhus to anything of food. They didn't even taste honey without any preparation whatsoever. So how can you have a taina that the nation is not going to listen to you? Pasuk Chav Zayin. V'yoynesin lo'yshomach b'hashbiyah ovev etz ha'am. Yonason did not hear this shvua. He was away from his father. He was away from the rest of the tzibur. The Yonason was shama b'hashbiya ove v'sa'am. Yonason did not hear when his father was mashbiya the people. V'yishlach es k'tei hamata asher b'yodai. He sent the edge of his stick that was in his hand. V'yitboi l'yso b'yaris hadbash. He dipped it into one of the hives with honey. V'yoshev yodai el piv. And he put it into his mouth. V'to'urna einov. And his eyes lit up. He was fasting a whole day, as was the minig, to fast on a day of war. Here he tastes a little bit of honey, and mamish, his eyes light up. The Malbim explains over here that there are three reasons. We're going to see later on it was held against Yonason. The nation had to redeem him from this shvuah. There's three reasons over here to stick up for Yonason why he was not guilty of being over on the shvuah. Number one, he didn't hear the shvuah. He wasn't there. He didn't hear the shvuah. So how could you hold him responsible for this? Number two, he didn't sit down and eat a suda. He got a little taste. That wasn't the worst thing in the world. And number three, you see that his eyes lit up from just tasting. Shema mino, he must have been in a sakon. So there's three reasons over here to stick up for Yonason in his taste. He didn't hear it. Number two, he just did a little tasting. And number three, he was in a sakon. So three reasons over here why he shouldn't be held responsible. Agav, the Gemara Maseches Bava Basra, from this pasuk over here, learns out an interesting halacha. It says, "Vayitboi loisoi biyaras hadvash." He dipped it in to the literally yaras hadvash sounds like the forest of honey. What does that mean? A forest of honey? Chazal, the Gemara Bava Basra, that Teil Midbeis asks a question. The chima inyan yar etol dvash. What does dvash have to do with the yar? A dvash is in a beehive. But what does it mean, the forest of honey? This comes to teach me, Zog the Gemara, that a beehive has the din of a yar and has the din of mechubra l'karka. A beehive has the din of karka. It looks like it's movable, but it has a din of mechubra l'karka. Look, Avi, which halachas? Well, number one, if let's say a person took honey out of a hive on Shabbos, it's like being toilesh from the ground. It has a din of a yar, it has a din of mechubra l'karka. Another halacha, there's a halacha in order to write a prusbel. On Shemitah, to write a prusbel, you have to own karka. So if let's say a person does not own any karka, all he owns is a beehive, that has a din of karka, l'gabi that halacha. Another din it has, we know karka is not makabel tumah. So a beehive, being that it has a chela karka, it's not makabel tumah, that's a halacha that we learn out of over here. I just want to leave you with one verse regarding Hanukkah, and that is Hanukkah. We're living in terribly troubled times now. Terribly pachadika times. Pachad chodem, what's going on in the world, and we are a kapsa achas ben shivim zikeinim. And it's interesting, I was thinking about today during Kriyas HaTorah, Yosef, the very thing that he was innocent of, he was accused of by Eishes Paitifar and thrown into prison for. He was naki, he says, v'chotosi le'lekim. I don't want to do an aveira to Hashem, chas v'sholem, to be over on us. And that's the very thing he was accused of and thrown into prison. You have a state of Israel today that is the most careful country when it comes to war. They are the most careful when it comes to being shayfer dam. They warn people in advance. And they try as much as possible to avoid it. And we are accused of being the worst scoundrels and the worst murderers in the world. That's Daimati Yaisit. Mamish Daimati Yaisit. You know, and when Chas V'Shalom, what we're suffering now, these terrorist attacks, Rahmanu Litzlan, and we're told to practice restraint and to, you know, you see the way France is practicing restraint right now. You know, they're practicing restraint and how Russia practices restraint. And they tell us that we have to practice restraint. We're living in an Olam Hafuch. Hanukkah is supposed to give us bitachin. Hanukkah is supposed to show us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching out for us. It doesn't look like it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching out for us. I just want to say over a vart from the Chedushi Arim, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kol ha'toyfis ner Chanukah, ve'oimed le'osav le'klon. If you light ner Chanukah while holding it in your hand, and you don't put it down into a menorah, le'osav le'klon, you're not yaitze. You have to put it down into a menorah, it should be nicker, the lighting it was saying in the mitzvah of Chanukah. So the Chedushi Arim says, Amari the Givar, Dr. Chedushi Arim, Kol ha'toyfis ner Chanukah. You could hold on to the mitzvah of ner Chanukah, with all the Hidurim and light it beautifully with all things. V'oimei, if you remain on the same adrega as you did from before Chanukah, and you don't shtayg, and you're not oile, and you don't become a chuzik in amuna, and you don't strengthen your Torah and tefillah, so then lo yosef lo klum, then you didn't accomplish anything. The ma'is of Chanukah is supposed to teach us we are a nation apart. We are a nation, we're not like the hashchosa of the goyim, and if we live a life of tahirim, and we live a life of tzaddikim, and we live a life of am shegula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special hashgacha with us that he doesn't have by the goyim, and eventually maybe we'll talk and see the Yeshua by Yomim Ha'im B'zman HaZeh. Good to book everybody, and I pray looking Chanukah.
She was sponsoring
the
yesterday
condition
with his father, Elazar, and Shlomo
Zerachai.
Next week is not.
Next week there's no share.
Why did they make one?